We're going to continue our studies in the Old Testament pictures of the Lord and His kindness to us. I'd like to read you a verse from the 15th chapter of Romans. Verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." I want to read a little bit from the book of Leviticus, a story about leprosy and how it could be cleansed. This, I think, is one of the most wonderful pictures in the Old Testament of God's grace to sinners. Now, leprosy in the Bible is often used as a picture of sin, particularly because of its uncleanness. Now, we're not sure if the leprosy we know today is the same as Bible leprosy, but in any case, we read of the Lord Jesus cleansing lepers. We never read of Him healing lepers, but cleansing them. The uncleanness of leprosy separated the people from God and from His people. There could be no communion for a leper. He had to live apart from the people. He was never permitted to come to the congregation of the Lord, the tabernacle. He must put a covering over his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," whenever anyone came near him. That's a picture of sin. That's what sin has done to us. It's made us unclean. It's made us unfit for the presence of God. It's made us unfit to have communion with God. The first epistle of John tells us how God wants us to have fellowship with Himself, but He says God is light, and something has to be done about our sin. And right away in the first chapter of 1 John, we're told that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You and I need the bath of regeneration. That's not baptism. That's cleansing through the precious blood of Christ. Now, leprosy is a blood disease. This is not something that you have on the outside. There was a leper in the Old Testament who said that he thought that the man of God would come out and move his hand up and down over the spot. Now, he didn't have a spot. You don't have a spot. Sin is inside of us. Sin is in our nature. It's in our being. It's not that we have certain blots in our lives or on our records or in our character. But God sees us as sinners through and through. Now, of course, leprosy differs in the way that it shows up on the outside. There may only be one spot on the surface, or the body may be nearly eaten away with it. But in any case, it is an infectious and contagious disease. Now, reading from the first verse of Leviticus 13, we find this: "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white," and so on, he goes on to tell the different ways that they can tell, "then," it says, "he shall pronounce him unclean." Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that no sinner is capable of pronouncing himself clean or unclean. When the leper was cleansed, he had to go to the priest to be pronounced clean. Our Lord Jesus even sent the lepers to the priest for their ceremonial cleansing, because he recognized that only the priest can diagnose this disease. Now, this was God's order in the Old Testament in order to teach you and me that the only one who can decide whether we are saved or lost is God Himself. No preacher or priest or rabbi could tell you. You can't tell yourself. You can't go by your feelings. There's only one way we can know, and that is by the Word of God. 1 John 5 tells us, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." As I said, there were varying degrees of leprosy. In this 13th chapter, you read about leprosy in certain parts of the body, until finally you come in verse 44 to the head. And if a man had leprosy in his head, then the priest should pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And I'd like to tell you that the 8th chapter of Romans tells us that the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The worst thing about us is, as sinners, is that we have a wrong attitude toward God. And unless your mind is changed about God, you'll be utterly unclean to the day of your death and forever. Does it sound hard? Well, the Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And repentance in the Bible is simply to have another mind, to change one's mind about God and about himself. Some of you love your sins. That's why you don't get saved. Some of you do not know and do not believe God's love to you and that Christ finished the work for you on the cross. Now, when could a leper be cleansed? Well, this was settled by Scripture, too. Whenever they came to the priest, and the priest saw that the man was, his skin had turned white all over. The whole thing had come out to the outside. Then he said, he shall look upon him, and if he is turned all white, if it's all come to the surface, then he can pronounce him clean. Then he can cleanse him ceremonially. If we could just get people to acknowledge themselves to be sinners, if we could just get people to say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner, to acknowledge that they are in need of a Savior, then we could tell them the good news. Now, in the 14th chapter of Leviticus, he tells what to do to cleanse the leper. First of all, he says in verse 4, then the priest shall command to take for him. Remember now, the priest is doing this for him. He can't do it for himself. None of us can save ourselves. None of us can give to God a ransom for ourselves. The priest shall take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, into the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, that's the perfect number, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now, what are we to understand by all this? Well, of course, every Old Testament sacrifice is a picture of Christ. We're told that plainly in the book of Hebrews. There were many sacrifices in the Old Testament, all of which covered sin over from year to year until the Lord Jesus came to put away sin. And when he died in our place, he is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament sacrifices. But why two birds? Well, because one of them died. And when that bird died, of course, it could not be brought to life again. But to teach the resurrection of Christ, a second bird is covered with the blood of the first bird and then allowed to fly into the open heavens. And that's a beautiful picture for us of how the Lord Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, the last verse of Romans 4 says. And the first verse of chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the one who is the antitype of the two birds. His death and his resurrection answer to God for our sins. And then, of course, the cedar speaks of the loftiness of man and scarlet of his distinction and hyssop of lowliness. And the Lord Jesus, of course, who was the greatest of all, became the lowly one in order to redeem us. Now, after this was done, there was still one other thing to be done. Then we're told, he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp. When a person receives Christ as his Savior, he has the assurance from the Bible that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And it doesn't take anything added to it. If you insist that your baptism or your good works or something else are needed in order to make you right with God, then you are making light of the blood of Christ. Christ said when he died on the cross, "It is finished." And you be satisfied to give him all the credit for what he did there on the cross. However, the Lord wants us now that we have received Christ as our Savior to go on to live a life that is godly and pleasing. He wants us to be sanctified practically in our everyday living. That is, set apart unto God. The word sanctified means set apart. We are to live for God only after we've received Christ as our Savior. That leper wouldn't go back to the same old place where he'd lived out in the wilderness. He wants to be now among the Lord's people. And if you profess to be a Christian, how is it that you don't care for the company of God's people? And if you belong to the Lord, how is it that you don't want to be found in fellowship with him? They wanted to come to the tabernacle of the congregation and meet with the Lord. So he says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. God help you that if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, to want to be clean from all of these things, and to live in such a way that will show to the people that you're no longer what you were. They were anointed with the blood, and they were anointed with the oil, showing that Christ's death is answered for us, and that his Holy Spirit now indwells us. Father, we thank thee for these wonderful truths. We pray for thy blessing upon thy word to each of us. Save the lost, we pray, and help us, thy dear children, to live for thee. For the name's sake of our Savior, we pray. Amen.